All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles back to that sweet book of Galatians. And tonight we're beginning right in the fifth chapter, and the Lord's encouraged me to just jump right in. So let's begin reading that sweet first verse of the fifth chapter of Galatians. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." Praise the Lord. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Not making or whatever, it's done. He's made us free. "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And I so am in love with this sweet little verse. Right off the bat, it comes at you so full force. Stand fast, praise God, in the liberty. Think of that liberty, that freedom. And this liberty, brothers and sisters, can only be understood by the Spirit of Christ. We're not talking just the land of liberty. We're talking about, praise God, God's liberty. And I'm grateful to Him, how free that He has made us. And you see that He's called us to stand in this liberty. Then you see that double portion, He's made us free. And then it continues on because He says, "Be not entangled again." And then He goes on to say, "Of any yoke of bondage." So all I'm getting in that is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So he begins this precious chapter here with this trumpeter blast. And the trumpeter's blast is, "Stand fast, therefore." Now, brothers and sisters, that "stand fast" means to preserve, persist, to not be moved. And why? Because of the promises of God, the promises of Christ, and especially the word "therefore" is talking about the first four chapters that we've been with. He says, "Stay with it." You think about what we've read and some of the highlights of what God has given us in His promises. In 1:6, it says that we were called into grace. In verse 15 of the first chapter, we're separated by grace. In the second chapter, I'll tell you, that thing's dedicated so sweetly that Paul withstood Peter because he fell from grace. And then you go on to the 16th verse of that second chapter. It says we're justified by faith. And then in the 21st verse, it says Christ would have died in vain if righteousness came by works. If righteousness came by deeds, Christ's death would have been in vain. It goes on to say in 3:2, "By faith we received the Spirit." And then in the 5th verse of the 3rd chapter, it says that miracles are by faith. And then in the 6th verse, it says that all of Abraham's godliness and promise was by faith. And then in the 3rd chapter, in the 2nd verse, it says, in the 6th verse, it says, "So if you go by the law, then you put yourself under the curse." I don't want to do that. But God is telling us clearly is if we're going under the law, we're going to place ourselves under this curse. In verse 10 of the fourth chapter, it goes on to say, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law." In the 13th chapter of the third chapter, 13th verse, it says, "We're Lord of all and no longer servants, but heirs of God." And that begins us right into the fourth chapter, brothers and sisters. We're born of Mother Grace in verse 26. And praise God, we ended last week, "Cast out the bond maid." Cast out the bond servant. And I'm thankful to God that tonight we rejoice. Don't feel sorry for her. The Lord really impressed that upon my heart. Sometimes you read through that, and I told you how I had heard a sermon or two. They were just off as off could be, trying to defend why she shouldn't have been thrown out. Let me tell you something. God says throw her out. You throw her out. She needs to be removed. You don't entertain her at all in the least. It's either works or it's grace. And brothers and sisters, it's because we have been made free. And the Word of God here tells us to no longer entangle ourselves. And that word entangle means to ensnare yourself. And if you really think about it, if you're going to go the way of works, you did it. You can't blame anybody. You were the one that chose it. If you want to go the way of self-righteousness, that's something that you chose in your own. God didn't choose that for you. He didn't encourage you in that at all. God is there to meet you at the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful to the Lord that it tells us to no longer entangle with that yoke of bondage. It's been taken out of the way. And we really need to remember Acts 15:10. As Paul is speaking to these ones, let me tell you something. These were some self-righteous people. As Paul knew, he said, man, let me tell you something. As keeping to the law, there wasn't anybody like me. I was the best of the best. I knew the best. I knew these ones that wanted to try to be the keepers of the law. But let me tell you something. Neither me nor our fathers nor anybody was able to do it. You can't. You'll fail miserably. And brothers and sisters, that's where we left off. That's where God has brought us to in this first verse. So clearly, the conclusion of it all, we're free. We're free. And God help us to be quick in spirit to cast that off, to get rid of that, to back away. I'll tell you what, that's the appearance of evil. And the Word of God says, flee from it. And a lot of times we think that that's going to be something physical that we come into contact with. And yes, it can be. But I find for my life, most of the time, it's a battle right here. It's a battle right here. And it's that enemy, as he's permitted to come and to say, well, maybe you should think this way or be this way. Let me tell you something. Let this mind be in you. I'm so thankful to God. I'm realizing, Lord, thou knowest, and I'm leaving it to you. I want you to make all of these decisions. Praise God. This is your word. It's the light. It's the lamp to my feet. Praise God. There's no darkness in this word. It's light. It's precious. It's known. It's so substance. It's absolute faith, brothers and sisters, because it's the thing that is unseen. But the things that are unseen are forever. And we thank God for that. Now let's go on to verses 2 through 6. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I got a funny story about that one, about a brother who was physically circumcised, and you can imagine what nonsense could go on with that when you're not yielding to God. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. Listen to that. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. So don't get going either way. Listen to this. But faith which worketh by love. One of my favorite verses, praise be to God. The faith which worketh by love. And that is exactly how faith works. Now, as we begin this little section here, let's please know that circumcision given of God was a precious thing, a very precious thing, an incredible thing, brothers and sisters. The circumcision given by God unto Abraham was the sign of the covenant of grace to Abraham. It was the covenant of grace. It was just given to him. God called him out. That was Genesis 17:11. Circumcision was not a requirement of Abraham's salvation. It wasn't. For he believed God, and it was accounted unto him. It was counted unto him for righteousness. If you go back and read Abraham, that precious verse where it says Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, that happened 15 years prior, 15 years before he was ever circumcised. The circumcision, praise God, was a precious sign of the covenant of grace to Abraham. And we see then that that act of circumcision, that didn't profit him a thing. For it was only a sign of what God already did. See, God gave grace, just like God gave you grace. And you know what he does with that grace? That grace gives you faith. And that faith, praise God, believes God, and that's counted unto you for righteousness. It's the same faith, hallelujah. It's the same grace. It's the gift of God, whom he foreknew, he predestinated. And he predestinated you and foreknew you all with grace. Do you see that, brothers and sisters? Isn't it just marvelous? How wonderful God works. This is his plan. This is his doing. This is his wonderful grace. And then, brothers and sisters, what goes on so sweetly here is God's circumcision is just so mind-blowing. It's so wonderful, and I'm thankful to God that it really was a sweet trip the Spirit took me this week in studying this out. And I'd like to go over to Romans chapter 4, and let's begin a little bit of a study on this circumcision tonight. The Lord's led me into this, and I think that it'll be a real sweet blessing to your hearts. But here we go in Romans chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." See, this is very important, brothers and sisters, because this is taken in everything. This is not just about circumcision. This is about anything that we could ever do of ourselves that we think is getting some type of favor or acceptance to God. That doesn't get us anything. Matter of fact, that just separates us from God. We're going to read about that in a little bit. But brothers and sisters, it's all by faith. And what is faith? It's believing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is what pleases God. You know what pleases God? Is having absolute confidence in His Word. That even when you fail so miserably, you have confidence in His Word. That, praise the Lord, I cannot be separated from your love. That, praise the Lord, Romans 8:28 is alive and working. Praise God, it's all powerful. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, and especially at a Bible study tonight, I can say by His grace to them who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that wonderful? Again, that's grace. Grace brought you in here tonight. Let's not get big-headed at all. Let that convict you to say, Lord, it was again just your wonderful grace and love that drew me here this evening. So again, we'll go back and read. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? So when did he get this faith? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Like I said, 15 years prior to being circumcised, it said Abraham believed God. Can you imagine that? He didn't do a thing. God had already circled him out. He said, praise God, I'm going to call you by my grace. And you're going to take my grace by grace. Isn't that wonderful? Grace for grace. And you're going to have faith. You're going to have faith. You see how God loves you? Do you really see how God loves you? He said to know it, and you can know it. You can know the love of God. You can know it, see, because it's His will. Not of you, it's because He put that in you. He put that life in you, and that life is the Word. Hallelujah. See, this is that faith, brothers and sisters, and the most holy faith, praise God, to believe Him. And he received, here in the 11th verse, the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. My goodness, he had great faith and he had no works. Come on, that's what he's saying. But the work was that he believed God. That was the evidence. See, do you see the beauty in that? See, we're thinking works one way, and God said, no. Here's the precious work. It's faith. You believe me, honeys. I'll show you what I'll do in you. I'll show you what I'll bring to pass. But it's going to be my work, because you're my workmanship. Amen? Amen. All right. So here we go. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So see, it didn't matter. It just, do you believe God or not? And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only. But here we go. But who also walk in the steps of that faith. See, that faith, it's a specific faith. It's the faith in the Son of God. It's the faith in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. It was set up at the very beginning. Hallelujah. The Lamb. Amen. Sweet Abel knew that, didn't he? He brought what God wanted. He wanted the Lamb. Cain tried to bring every bit of his hard work, his sweat, his equity. Oh, God, look at how much I worked for this. And you can think it commendable. You can think, oh, that poor old fella. Nope, that's Hagar. Throw her out. Get her out of here. Get your feeling out of this stuff, brothers and sisters. It's by faith. Your feeling will defeat you. And it will. It will defeat you every time. Let me tell you something. There's nothing in me that yields to God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The only thought I can have is a wicked thought. It's a beautiful thing. I know that Christ lives in me because there's wonderful thought. There's wonderful things going on. But I know who it is. I know who does it all. The same one that does it in you. The same one. Praise his name. So again, but in the 12th verse, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. God help us to stay in that state. The state of just trusting God. Lord, I didn't do anything for it. I was just as the tents of Kedar, but praise God, you brought me right into the curtains of Solomon. That's what you've done in me. That's what you've done. Hallelujah. That's just what it is. Praise God, I've been born again. Hallelujah. So brothers and sisters, this is wonderful stuff, but it doesn't end there because we got to go talk about Christ's circumcision. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. So you see, that was how God brought that to Abraham. Let's see as he completes this thought of circumcision with his precious son. And in the 9th verse of the 2nd chapter of Colossians, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We know that's our precious lamb. "And ye are complete in him." I know a lot of people think that they're complete in a lot of other things. But I'm going by the word of God. I'm complete in him. A lot of nice thoughts out there, but I'm complete in him. Listen to that. That's you too. See, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're his. And this is how you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom, listen to this, also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. See, that's the circumcision I like. The one that's made without the hands. Hallelujah. And putting off the body. Listen to this. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you? It's off. It's been cut off. It's been removed. You're justified. It's just as if you never sinned. That is who you are. That old rotten thing that you think that you might be, you're not. That's not you in Christ. Well, I talk to people about that and they think I'm just absolutely nuts. I'm a nut enough to believe the Word of God. You're holy, you're righteous. You have the very life of Christ. That is who you are. It's just by God's grace awakening to it. Amen. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened to who we are in Christ. How wonderful. Now, as with God, in the 12th verse, it only gets better. Listen to this. So circumcision, here we go, buried with him in baptism. Isn't this wonderful? Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. See, there's an operation. You talk about a skilled surgeon who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of your flesh. See, that's who you are. Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And that's who you are now. Praise God. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. See, that's just not who you are. It was contrary. See, that's all gone. That's all done. I don't care what so-and-so keeps bringing up in your face. That's all gone. See? Look at this, how Christ and how God the Father sees you. And he took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross. And having spoiled principality, we can't stop, we have to read through. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Isn't that wonderful? See, he's a victor. He's more than a conqueror. Somebody said, well, that's kind of a show off there. I said, no, he ain't showing off. He just is. He's I am. And he made a show of it openly. This wasn't hidden, praise God. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Listen to this. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? See, you're not. Touch not, taste not, handle not. No. Like I told you, you'll grow up when you learn this. Love him. Learn how much he loves you. And honey, just fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. So touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Praise God, brothers and sisters. It is. We could just keep reading all the way through Colossians. We'd have a good time tonight. But that's where I want to go. But the Lord, I think in spirit, he's going to take us right back to we are circumcised in him. Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? He's done it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Praise his name. And see, now the life we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's your life. That is your life. There's nothing else. That is your life. And let me tell you something. That's everything. That's everything. Not there's nothing else. It's that is precious to God because it is everything. He put everything in his Son. See, brothers and sisters, he cut it off. He put it to death. Sin, the flesh. We live the new man. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then in Colossians here, we even see our better circumcision, which we call baptism. See, circumcision, brothers and sisters, was the sign of death to the flesh. That was the sign of death to the flesh that was going to come, as it says, through the cross. But baptism for us is the sign of death to the flesh that has come through the cross. See, they were looking forward to it. We look back to it. Praise God. But we have even more because right after that it says we are risen with him. And that's all by faith. Remember this. So verse 3 then clearly states, brothers and sisters, that if it's the act of circumcision, if it's an act of anything that you're relying on for your righteousness, you're a debtor to the whole law. If you're going to rely on, let me tell you something, one link of the chain or two links of the chain, it's all 10 links of the chain. And again, I remind you how many links have to break before you're done if you were held over that chasm into an inferno. And we all know it's just one. We don't need two or three. My life, maybe all 10 went, I don't know, but I'm thankful to God. I don't have to worry about that. Praise his name. He nailed that to the cross. This is the freedom that we have. And see, that's the precious freedom that we so enjoy, brothers and sisters, because it's divine grace. See, those that don't see this, they say, oh, you're one of those grace ones. You just say it's an anything goes life and all that. No, you dummy. That is so stupid. It's so absolutely ignorant. When you know somebody who loves you like that and has done something like that for you, let me tell you something, then you'll want to live for God. You'll want to let him live in you. You'll understand that he causes you to will and to do of his good pleasure because you're in love. If you've ever been in love, I mean really in love with somebody, it is. It's supernatural. That is really supernatural. You don't become a different person in a sense, but it causes you to will and to do things because you love them that you never did. It's amazing. It'll be funny as I watch my sons, you know, open doors and things. You know, they love their mom, but not that way. But you watch, they'll open door for their girlfriend or do this or that type of thing. But as they grow older, it's amazing what you do. You even leave mom and dad and all that. You join and praise God and become one. Hallelujah. This is when you fall in love and you fall in love with that precious grace. That's how you're going to fall in love with him. But see, brothers and sisters, if it's the act of the circumcision that you're relying on for your righteousness, you're a debtor to the whole law. And I'll remind you again that you can't do it. You can't. Remember Acts 15:10, neither were the fathers that really tried to get this thing done. They couldn't do it either, and you can't do it. And again, you will fail miserably. You're guilty. It's a debt that you couldn't repay. See, circumcision in this context is trying to justify yourself by works. And we clearly know that the Word of God tells us, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So why do we try to pick out one? Maybe that was just me. Huh? Come on now. You know what I'm saying. You know how it's so subtle. Well, if maybe I do, I'll get a little bit more favor. Or this will might make me feel good or something like that. See, get rid of that. Flee. That's the very appearance of evil. I live by grace. Praise God. That is the grace of God. It holds us, brothers and sisters. It encourages us. That's how we grow. We grow in grace. Now today, brothers and sisters, in this age we live in, just like they did, but even more so now, there's a whole bunch running around. And I'm talking about a multitude of religions claiming, if you get baptized in my church, you're saved. Because we're the church. And we're the church. And we're the church. And then I know Christians that maybe not say that they're the church, but they believe that the baptism is what saved them. Thank God it's just a mustard seed. That's all I can say. Every time I just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, that it's just a mustard seed. Oh, my goodness. Brothers and sisters, there's ones running around. Brother Copley notes, well, confirmation saved me. Catechism saved me. You know it, you that been there, done that. And it doesn't save you. It confuses you. It gives you a false hope that someday, somehow, some way, you meet and there's a big void. And what this is getting at here is even with these Christians, and that's why Paul is so concerned, this is the easiest and greatest defeater of a Christian, that dirty self-righteousness. It'll get you going because it's so fleshly. It feels good. It feels holy. It feels righteous. Man will cheer you. They will. Oh, that is a righteous dude, you know. That's a righteous one there, I'll tell you. They really know how to live for God. Look at all the works. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that you can label all these things whatever kind of faith you want, but it's not faith at all. Because it's works. It's actually blasphemous to God. Know this. See, we have to call it what it is. We can't be sheepish with this stuff. This is standing, brothers and sisters. This is standing. This is standing, praise the Lord, in His truth and His love. Because this is His word and this is His way. And it's by grace. And we need to stand in this and understand that it's the Lamb of God. It's the shedding of His blood. Now you look at verse 4 back here in Galatians. And I'm going to tell you something. It's very serious there. And let's read it again. He's talking to Christians and he's telling them, Christ is become of no effect unto you. That's a horrific statement. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Listen to that. Now, he's speaking to us, and I pray that he's speaking to our testimony to others, and especially Christians. These are children of the King. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. But because they have embraced the flesh and deny the working of the Spirit, the grace of God, Christ has become of no effect to you, whosoever you are justified by the law, because you have fallen from grace. This is the man, and let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Let's begin reading from the 10th verse. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. See, that's the grace of God. You want to build something? It's going to be on grace. It's got to be grace. And here's the wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, again, this foundation of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So here we go, brothers and sisters. We're reading something that's very, very clear. It's a work of grace. And if this is going to be the works of our flesh, now we're going to read what's going to happen. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Now we know that the reward is anything of the grace of God, God's work, his workmanship. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But here's what's so beautiful too. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, that foundation is the foundation. There's no change in that foundation. That's Jesus Christ. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. But we're talking about winning him, aren't we, brothers and sisters? We're talking about finishing with a full joy. And the full joy is going to be finished one way, and that is the way of grace. Praise his name. I'm thankful to God that we can study this and be encouraged, brothers and sisters, because this is a very heavy topic. This is a very heavy statement that we read here in Galatians. Christ of no effect to a Christian? That's a horrible place to be in. I can't imagine. I'm thankful to God. It's by grace that he holds me. I'm thankful to God that, praise the Lord, I don't know this. I read about this and I understand this, but I'm praising the Lord. I don't live this. Because by his grace, I'm accepting, Lord, I'm your workmanship. This is yours. Praise the Lord. I'm ceasing of my own works. Hallelujah. And I enter into the rest of God. And this is the rest of God, that it's in his Son. See, that's how the Father rested. He saw that it was in his Son. And that it was in his Son, it was good. Perfect, matter of fact. And praise the Lord. Don't you think that God knows all? Don't you think that God is right, that precious Father? Well, let me tell you something. He's right. He's always right. Matter of fact, it's impossible for him to lie. His promises are yea and amen. The word of God is going to endure forever, and that word is his Son. It's the I Am. And praise God that we can have that confidence and rest. But brothers and sisters, this word no effect to a Christian, it means to be literally separated from. It means a great distance. Oh yes, he sees the proud afar off. Now sometimes these self-righteous might look very meek. They might try to look humble. They might try to look like they do this and that. They might give up all their belongings, barely eat a thing, pledge their chaste to Christ, and go and serve and serve and serve. And to most, they say again, oh, that's a righteous one. But in all of reality, that's a putrid one. I know many Christian assemblies that pay homage to religious icons. I don't need to make mention of them, you know. Let me tell you something. There's but one to be highly esteemed. And that's my Lord and Savior and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's it. And see, as I esteem you, and you esteem me in Christ, it's because of Christ in you. I'm esteeming his life in you. I acknowledge his life in you. It's not you. And I pray that makes you feel real good. Because to God be the glory. Isn't that what this is about? Isn't that he would be manifest in us? What is this life about? Is it about you? God, I hope it's not about you. I think we're finally figuring out it ain't about me. Hallelujah. It's about Christ in me. It's about Christ in me. That's the power. That's what pleases God, to reveal his Son in you. And he chose you to do it. That is incredibly special. That's so awesome. It's so beyond. It's so marvelous. And yet here we are trying to figure out, well, how am I going to make a mark in this world? I don't want to make a mark in this world. I don't want to do anything in this old world except get ready, praise the Lord, and preach the gospel to be the readied wife. I want to be glorified together with him over yonder. But it starts here. It starts here. It starts here with a vision. And without a vision of this, the people perish. I don't care how many songs you can sing, eventually it's going to grow old. I don't care how many pep rallies we can do, eventually it's going to grow old. But the Word of God never grows old. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. It's just what it is. So praise his name. But you see, brothers and sisters, self-righteousness separates us from God. And it separates us to a place where grace doesn't reach us to grow. Now think of this. As it said, what we read, of no effect, it means to be literally separated from. If we're separating ourselves from grace, we know that there's no way we can grow but by grace. All right? Now think about this. When you're separated where grace doesn't reach you, where do we get grace? At the throne of grace. And what are we called to do? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Because you know what? We need it all the time. But if I don't believe that I need grace and I'm sitting there in self-righteousness, you know, I can connect the dots. I am nowhere near the throne. I am so far away removed. And the Father's not moving. Praise God. He's waiting for the prodigal. Isn't he? Yes, he is. Calling, come home. Come home. But brothers and sisters, if we're going to go the way of self-righteousness, we're removed from grace. And you think of where, again, that precious grace is found. It is right there at the precious throne room. We've read through this that in self-righteousness, brothers and sisters, we are bewitched. We are removed from God, and we are yet but infants in the knowledge of the truth. That it's all by grace, because we do grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think how wonderful, it's never ironic, but I guess that's the word sometimes we use. I say it's just incredibly amazing that the one who, the vessel who that was brought through, it's out there on our front steps, 2 Peter 3:18. The one who that was brought through was our sweet brother Peter. And I think how wonderfully amazing, that's who that precious verse was brought through. Because, brothers and sisters, he knew. He knew. And as he goes on to say in that same context, see, when you wrestle with the scriptures, when you wrestle with the grace of God, you're going to be stiff-necked just like me. You're going to miss it. It's going to pass you by. You grow in grace. And that's it. Heed to Brother Paul. He's got the message. It's hard to be understood if you're going to wrestle, but he's got it. He hit the mark. He is the apostle, hallelujah, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He is. It's it. There's preach no other gospel. You're wasting your time. That's how we began, didn't we? That's how this whole thing started out. Preach no other gospel. It's the only one there is, the grace of God. Praise his name. The finished work is where all the rejoicing is, that we are free indeed. And now the life we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, we've read through thus far that we are not a servant. You're an heir. You're not a servant, you're an heir. Now, praise the Lord, I understand the Word of God talks about, yes, there is this precious service, but it's the grace that works that in our lives, brothers and sisters. We are heirs of God. We are royalty because we're his children. And God wants me to be who he has made me to be. He wants me to enjoy, praise God, his righteousness and holiness and praise him for all this great grace that he so freely gave to me and gave to you in his Son. You're a precious vessel, and it's the treasure in that earthen vessel. That's the treasure, and he wants you to enjoy it. See, brothers and sisters, we were debtors. There was no way to pay him back. It was a debt we could not pay. No way but God. That's what happened. It was but God. But God, hallelujah, he paid the debt for us in his Son. And even much more, brothers and sisters, because not only was it satisfied. See, that's what God does. He does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Not only was that satisfied, which would have been wonderful to think, oh God, you cleansed me, you freed me, I'm accepted, it's wonderful, that's great. You mean I'm a son? Yes, you're a son. And not just a son, but an heir. See, we're getting as intimate can be. But it didn't stop there, did it? And it says, and a joint heir. Oh my goodness, here comes the double portion. A double, triple, you can't even express it. See, Elijah knew about a double portion. But my goodness, we're talking hundredfold time here. What has our attention, brothers and sisters? What's got us? Well, I know who's apprehended you. He's just encouraging us, apprehend me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is wonderful stuff. But it's, praise God, that we're here to receive from him. That, brothers and sisters, we don't earn a thing. We receive it by faith. We grow into the knowledge of this wealth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's readying us in the ages to come. And can you imagine what he's readying us for? The exceeding riches of his grace. It never ends. It just gets more exceeding. It gets more abundant. It just becomes more wonderful. We'll end with this fifth verse. We'll hit the sixth. But I think this fifth is one of the most romantic verses in the Word of God. We, the grace saints. We, this is what he's talking about. Us in Christ. Not the ones who are toiling, trying to go about it by my working perfection, because that ain't going to happen. If you're trying to work through this, if you're trying to struggle through and toil about, as we know what we've read, that's a child. That's somebody who doesn't want to grow up. But those who truly are counting on and resting in his grace, they're waiting on the Beloved. They're waiting for his appearing. They're trusting and counting him faithful. They're counting him absolutely faithful, that when we see him, we will be like him. By grace, by the Spirit. And you think about the Spirit, the love shedder, the one that sheds that love abroad in our lives. See, the moment that we see him, brothers and sisters, we're going to have a glorious body someday like unto his own. And in this precious fifth verse, it says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And when we see him, we're going to be like him. And we're going to enjoy to the fullest the righteousness and holiness wherein he has made us. See, right now it's in a glass darkly, isn't it? Wonderful vision. Precious what we see. But soon, very soon, it's going to be full out. Face to face. Like I am known. Praise the Lord. We're going to see him. We've been made righteous, brothers and sisters. Let's not forget. We've been made righteous in him, 1 Corinthians 5:21. We've been raised and seated with him in the heavens, Ephesians 2:6. And in Romans 8:30, it says, whom he foreknew, he called, he justified, and he glorified. Now you talk about hope. You talk about rich. You talk about sitting pretty. If you just sit still, you can't believe how pretty he's going to make you. But this hope of righteousness, brothers and sisters, I will close with this thought. It means here, the author of the hope of righteousness. So if you see this in this verse, it says, for we through the Spirit wait for the author of the hope of righteousness by faith. I'm waiting for Jesus by grace. I'm waiting for the Lamb of God by grace. And I'll tell you what, that grace is causing us to long for Him, a yearning to see Him, the crown of righteousness. Praise be to God. He's my crown. He's my crown. He's your crown. And He, praise the Lord, is our everything. He's our glory. He's our praise. He's all of the thanksgiving. He's the gratitude. He's all in all. And that's what He is. So praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. And look at the glory being worked in the vessels to the praise of the glory of His grace. Praise His name. Let's stand and be dismissed.